If you didn't bring your Bible, you don't have an app, take a look at the screen. 1 Samuel 17 and 45. 1 Samuel 17 and 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand," David says, "and I will strike you, I will take your head from you, and this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear." Now everybody read this with me. "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into our hands." That was weak. Turn to somebody and tell them, saying, "You're being a little weak now. I need you to get your preacher voice on. Help me read that last part again." It says, "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it you into our hands." I want to preach today and borrow from that verse and just add one word. Your battle is the Lord's. Your battle is the Lord's. Lay your Bibles down. Lift your hands to heaven. Let's ask the Lord to help us right now. Father, we thank you, Jesus. God, you are good, Lord Jesus. Your mercy endures to all generations. We pray, Lord, that you would move in this house. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd encourage somebody. Bring somebody, God, to understanding of exactly what you want to do for them today. We're going to give you praise, and Lord, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Clap your hands to the Lord and let's praise him again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated. You'd be hard-pressed to find, there's probably some out there, but you'd be hard-pressed to find people that didn't know the story of David and Goliath. Two armies on opposite sides of a valley, squaring off, until one day, a literal giant of a man walks down into the middle of that valley. Not just intimidating, not only just formidable, but seemingly just by appearance is even unbeatable. And a shepherd boy shows up and defeats him. And a great victory is wrought that day. It's one of the most well-known stories of the Bible. Many times, in fact, often if not always, it is mischaracterized as an underdog story. One in which the lesser is underestimated and the greater is overconfident. Sports announcers, they love to hear it's a David and Goliath when it's an underdog story. The whole idea behind what most people know of this story is that David, in his limitations and in his inexperience, pulls out from out of nowhere an upset victory. But David would argue with you, if that's what you think it is. David would take issue with you. He'd say, no. That was not me. That was not anything to do with me. He would argue from his writings in Psalms and chapter 18. He said, no. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer and my God and my strength in whom I will trust. He's my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and he's my high tower. I don't know. Don't put that on me. It's him that brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. Don't give me any credit. From the end of the earth, I will cry unto the Lord. And when my heart is overwhelmed, I don't turn to me. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. He would argue with you and say, don't put that victory on me. My goodness, and God is my goodness, and he's my fortress, Psalms 144, my high tower. He's my deliverer. He's my shield, and it's him who I trust. And he is the one that subdues people under me. David would not say that he pulled off an upset. David would say he pulled off a Jehovah. Now, Goliath's challenge was great. It was not to be ignored. I mean, you look at the scripture as it identifies just the absolute, you know, boundaries around this behemoth of a man. Can you imagine? Almost 10 feet high. That's a big guy. Said he's got a bronze helmet on his head, that he wears a coat of mail protecting him, a coat that weighs over 100 pounds. He's got bronze shins of armor on his leg. Anywhere where you possibly could attack him, he's covered. He's a brute. He's got might strength. He's got a bronze javelin that's hanging around his shoulders and a spear that it takes a big old man to carry. 33 pounds, 12 feet long. And that's what walks out in front of Israel one day and says, choose you a man from yourselves. Let him come down to me. And if, listen to this arrogance, if he is able to fight against me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I, if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. What kind of war strategy is that? What kind of idiotic war strategy? What general would agree to those terms? What war? In what war would that work? Go and find the best of yours that is probably better than any one person in our army. And you choose one of your weaklings or whatever you got, and you bring them out here, and you fight one-on-one. And let's just hinge the whole thing on one moment. Let's hinge the whole victory on one brief interaction. And let's put the whole nation, let's just throw it all out there. Let's put the fate of the entire nation on one battle between one man against an enemy that is pretty clear that cannot be defeated. Who would do that? Imagine if wars had been waged like that. Why? Why? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because that's what Satan tries to make it about. That's his agenda. And that is to get us into circumstances where we are defeatable. And try to make our whole life an effort and spiritual effort in our lives about one moment, about one failure, about one time, about one interaction. And may I add, it's never a fair one. The devil would like to make your walk with God about one interaction. He'd like to make it about one moment, and it be a moment where it's not even fair. He doesn't choose the strongest of your times to attack. He doesn't choose the time. Listen, he wouldn't dare come up in here the way we had worship today. Oh, no, he stays away. He'll wait until we're at our weakest moment. He'll wait till there's no saints around us. There's no music around us. And we're at a point where it's very possible that we could give in. It's never at your best that he wants to mess with you. And the Bible says that when Saul and all of Israel heard those words of that great big Philistine, that they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And wouldn't you be also? If a 10-foot man walked down this aisle and said, stop preaching, I'd love to tell you that I wouldn't give it a second thought, but I'm just telling you, I'm a human being and 10 foot's a big guy. We'd all be intimidated. In fact, the truth of the matter is, I'm looking at close to 175 or so people. You've been in circumstances where you know what you know, but it's what you see that's bothering you. It's the circumstances that are in front of you, and you've been in circumstances where things looked intimidating. It wasn't that it was just a perception. It was intimidating. That circumstance was a bad deal. It was a negative situation. It was something that could take you out. It was something that if God didn't come through, there was going to be havoc all around you. But you hear this preacher, there was a David that stepped onto that battlefield that says, I've got a different perception. I know what I see, but I know who I serve. I'm just rising to tell somebody right now, I don't care what you're looking at, it's who you're serving that matters. You see, David is a type of Christ in Scripture. Micah the prophet in 5:2 would prophesy and say, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, that's where David was from. Jesse, his father, he lived in Bethlehem. Though you be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he, if I say he come forth, that is to be ruler of Israel. Oh, is he talking about David? Sort of. He's talking about what's coming out of David, whose going forth had been from old and everlasting. David was a type and shadow of Christ himself. In fact, Acts would go as far to tell him that God raised up David, to whom he gave this testimony, that he was a man after mine own heart, which would fulfill all my will. In other words, much of the time, David knew how to think like God thought. He knew how to decide like God decided. And he knew to value what God valued. And David, in that moment, he was in a good moment. He was in a good time. He was in a strong moment. Everybody else was weak. Everyone else was scared. Even those that shouldn't be were. And they were dismayed at this circumstance, this giant that was in the valley. That was day in and day out pressing them and challenging them. And that little shepherd boy that had been alone with God in a pasture somewhere walks into the dust of that valley, and he says, somebody's got to stop this. Somebody's got to meet this challenge. The Bible says it was 40 days. Everybody say 40 days. 40 days, 40 days, two times a day. When they got up in the morning, that loudmouth was in the valley saying, send me a man. When they went to bed, that loudmouth was in the valley saying, send me a man. Every day they were afraid and they were stressed. Does that sound like anything to anybody? Is that like anything to you today? You wake up in the morning and that thing is still there, and it's challenging you, and it's yelling at you, and it's stressing you. And when you go to bed, you can't even sleep at night because you're being challenged and you're being stressed. It's a giant that's yelling over and over and over again. Saul, you need to turn to David today and realize you're not by yourself. And if you think for a moment that you can take it, I'm with you. You ought to be stressed. You ought to be worried. But I still read in my Bible that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's still there. It's still there. Somebody say amen. It is not God's intention for you to stay bludgeoned in the battle forever. Did you hear what I said? It's not God's intention for you to stay stressed and challenged in your spiritual walk day in and day out. You hear this preacher today. Sometimes the only reason God allows a challenge is because there's an enemy he wants beaten. So don't you get discouraged and messed up because you're in the middle of the throes of a circumstance that looks like it's impossible. It just may be that God chose you. It just may be that God looked at you and say, there's my David that'll walk into a valley and stir the dust when everybody else is scared and say, I'll go out. This thing has got to stop. Man, Paul called it out. He called out suffering. He called out affliction and tribulation. He said, what's going to separate you from God? What's going to win over God? Calamity, is that going to win? Distress, is that going to win? Persecution, hunger, destitution, peril, a sword? Is any of those things going to be able to say? He said, no, yet in all these things. I don't know how you get more, but he said, you're more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. But there's a key. There's a truth behind those words. through him. Somebody say him. Him who loved us. So 40 days into terrorizing Israel, Goliath ran into a shepherd boy that knew too much about God to be too worried about him. And he looked at him dead in the eye and he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" I'm here to preach to this church today and say, is there anybody left like that that would look at this world, that would look at the efforts of hell and say, "Who told you you could win? Who told you could beat? Who told you you could listen?" No, you got it backwards. Brother Darren, this is an unfair advantage. Me and Jesus, we could do it. Come on. Is there any Davids in here that say, "I know what I look like, but I also know who I am. I'm a child of God. He's on my side. He's on my side." I'm telling you. Is there anybody here that is like David that says a threat to the kingdom is a threat to me? Is anybody here like David that says a threat to me is a threat to the kingdom? Is anybody here with the attitude of David that says, "I will not stand by when God's kingdom is being attacked?" Goliath ran into an answer to his challenge. And we're living in a world where nobody or very few are answering the challenge. It just seems to me, okay, one guy's observation, that we do a lot of navigating and we do a lot of preaching and a lot of singing even around how to deal in rough seasons. Now, listen, I know there's a time when you're in it, but I'm just saying I think we ought to preach and sing more about coming through rough seasons. I am not here to stay in my dilemma. You are not meant to stay in that stress. It's been going on for years. The devil is a liar. Man, I preached my glasses off today if you finally respond a little bit. He didn't mean for you to stay stuck in the mess that you're in. I'm rising to warn somebody. The devil is a liar and God is the victor. And if you let him, I said, if you let him. Satan needs to run into an answer this morning. Satan needs to run into a David this morning. Who is this Philistine? Who? What is this stress? What is this mess that I'm in? It's not worthy to be compared with the power of God that I serve. What is this circumstance? What? What is this circumstance that thinks it can interfere with the kingdom of God in my life? I know that sounds cocky. That sounds arrogant. I think we ought to go there. I think we can go there. Now, if it's just about me and who I am, I'd be scared to death to say that to hell. But I know who's behind me. And we need to change our mind. I'm just preaching to somebody. Would you stop continuing to go through the same cycles with the same thing? It's an affront to God when you refuse to have faith and trust in him to overcome things in your life. David said this. He said, "My God and I are enough." Listen to me. Don't you let anybody or anything tell you you're not enough with God. God and the resources that he put in David's hand were enough. Thank you for singing that song. Somebody say enough. They were enough to meet the challenge of Goliath. More than enough. And if you don't think that David wasn't challenged in this, if you don't think that David had reason to doubt, just take a look at the story. Read it through. Goliath called him a boy playing with sticks. Saul told him, "You're unqualified. And okay, I'm going to let you just in case something happened. Here, wear my armor." Tried to outfit him with armor he wasn't even used to. His brothers, his family. Ooh. Now we're preaching, right? His family questioned his motives. say, oh, no, you're not for real. He had doubt all around him, voices all around him. But he marched out there, he answered everyone and said, I know who I am, I know where I've been, and I know what I've been doing. But here's the thing, the Lord is with me. And I'm not coming with all of my resources. I'm coming with the resources of heaven. I'm coming to him in the name. You see, for David, God was tested and trusted. Yes, he was. Say tested and trusted. See, we trust so much. Let me prove it to you. Think about this. Just forget. You go on Amazon.com. You give them your credit card. And you order from some place you've never been because of the picture. You give them money and you trust. Then when they say it will be delivered tomorrow by 8 p.m. Everybody say trust. You want to know why you do that? I'm going to tell you why I do it. I do it, sister. I do it. Whenever I need something, I don't even go to the store anymore. This is the best invention in the world. I wish they'd get that drone thing going and they'd just drop it right on my porch. I wish they'd do that. You want to know why I do it, Sister Sherry? Because I tried it once, and it worked. And then I tried it again because I worked the first time. And then I didn't even want to tell you how many thousands of transactions me, my wife, and this church have from Amazon.com. Why do we keep trying? Because we tried it, it worked, and we trust it. Some of you don't even lock your cars because you tried it, and nobody's taken it yet. There's things in our lives that we trust because of track records. You go to restaurants because you trust them. You don't go to some restaurants because you do not trust them. Some of you don't go to Popeyes in this town anymore. Not because Popeyes isn't wonderful. Popeyes is going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But for a long time, customer service was pretty rough at Popeyes. But me and my wife, I'm off on a track here. The other day, we was at Lowe's, and I said, let's try it. Let's try it, because Popeyes is so good. Let's try it. And I was so happy. This wonderful, delightful young lady spoke to me over that intercom. And when I got to the window, I got that same delightful young lady. The food was great. You know what I did? Next week, I said, let's go back there. Let's go back there because we had a good experience. It worked. You know what? I'm just telling about it. I'm giving public service announcement. Popeyes is back. So when you get out of here, you go to Popeyes, the little girls over there, they'll treat you right. I'm just trying to tell you, there's things that you begin to try. You try because it tried and it worked and it was tested. Now you can trust it. Now listen to me, I'm not trying to be funny, but if I could trust Popeyes and I could trust Jeff Bezos and Amazon, my God, I've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The God of all creation, and you're going to tell me, I just don't know if he's going to come through. Oh, you need to change your mind. He is faithful. He is faithful. He's never lost a battle. He's never quit. He's never left you high. David said, I'll walk into that valley because I've tried him. I've tested him, and I trust him. David, he's 10 feet tall. I tried him. 33 pounds. That thing going through your midsection, David. I've tested him. He's been a warrior from his youth. I trust him. Why can't we trust God like that? Because here's what I think I can say. This ain't the first rodeo for a bunch of you people. If you're going through something today, chances are it's not the first thing you've went through. Oh, are we? Is it just novices in the house today? I mean, maybe for a few. But see, David, he could trust God because he had a bear in his past. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And he could trust God because he had a lion in his past. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. You've got a choice today. You can take your battles and your struggles and say, I am just the most unfortunate person in the world. Because it seems like every time I try, boy, have I heard this. Every time I try to take a step forward, I get knocked two steps back. It seems like there's an agenda. There is a list of things that I've had to walk through. Now, you've got a choice. You can sit there and you can call it a list of drudgeries and challenges and a list of fights and battles. Or you can look at it like David did. And David said, that's not a list of battles. That is... You ready? That is a resume. That's a resume for why I can beat this giant that nobody else can beat. I want to change your thinking. I want you to turn it around today. That's not a list of things that have been holding you down. That is a resume for things that have been putting you into position to face the very thing that you're facing right now. You've got to look at it and say, look, don't you worry about me, Saul. I can look and reach into the mouth of a bear and pull out a sheep. I can take a lion by its beard and wring it around and defeat him too. And if God could do it then, he could do it now. If God could do it then, come on, you're looking at me like you're not facing anything. I said, if he's done it before, he could do it again. See, some of you just need to look at your circumstance today and start, let's just trash talking. That's just what it is. Come on, men, you ladies, you may not understand this, but you get out on a ball field somewhere, and men just get stupid. I mean, they start saying things, and because that's just kind of part of the deal, I guess. I was never good at it. I would be like, yeah. I never knew what to say. I was a good trash talker. But that's what we got to do. We got to start trash talking. If you're facing a circumstance today that looks like a Goliath, here's what I would suggest you say. I wrote this down. I'm the same guy that's beat you before. You remember when you tried this before? You remember when you tried that other thing? You remember that other circumstance? I'm still sitting here. I'm still here. I'm still around. It didn't get me then. It's not going to get me now. This isn't my first threat. It's not my first challenge. It's not my first hard time. It's not my first slow time. It's not the first time I stumbled. The first time I struggled. But I'm telling you, I'm coming out on the other side because of who's with me. David's ability, his integrity, even his methods were questioned. But let's look at the facts. It was a stone that slew the giant. Did you hear me? David, you don't have the right armor. David, you're unqualified. David, your motives are out of whack. David, you are not the man for a job. But the facts are, it was a stone from David's little bag that slew Goliath. Everybody say the stone. David put his hand in that bag. He took out a stone. He slung it, and he struck the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell upon the face of the earth. And the summary is this. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. And struck the Philistine. This is important. And killed him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. Now, before you say, man, that was a miracle, let me just tell you, those slings, they were no joke. A sling could hurl a stone of 1 ounce anywhere from 60 to 100 miles an hour and hit something as far as 600 feet away. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Everything that David needed to defeat his circumstances, God had already given him. He didn't have to go to church and get some more faith. He didn't have to go and find somebody to give him a pep talk. Everything that he needed to defeat his adversary was already in his hand. Ready? Listen to me. Here's the application. You've got everything you need right now. Well, Neil's excited. God bless you, Brother Neil. I'm telling you, whatever you're facing, you don't need more church. You don't need another worship service. You don't need another message. You've got everything in Christ Jesus in you right now to defeat every devil, every mindset, every let me encourage you. You're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. And it's through him that loves you. Your faith is enough. Your prayers that you're praying right now. Jared, I heard you this morning in that class. Where are you at? Wave your hand. I heard you this morning in that class. You admitted it. You said, I prayed and felt like it just hit the wall and go to, but let me just tell you, there ain't a wasted prayer on the planet. I don't care how it feels. I don't care what it seems like. Your prayers are enough. Your giving is enough. Your godly choices are enough. Darren, you said it. You just keep doing the will of God. You keep doing the things of God. You don't need new weapons to fight with. You've got great weapons to fight with right now. The key is this. You just got to stop owning what belongs to God. David laid it out. Here's what he said. I mean, this is just, they say he was a teenager. And there's indications that he was redheaded, so I like him. There's questions about whether he was just ruddy-faced or redheaded. I think he was redheaded. But this little redheaded punk walks into this seasoned warrior and says, okay, here's how this is going to go down. I'm going to strike you. I'm going to take your head. And then when I'm done with you, I'm going to feed the carcasses of your entire army to the birds and the beasts. Bring it. Let's go. And that day, he said, the day the Lord will deliver you to my hand, I'll do all these things. How, David, could you be so sure? How could you be so confident? It's in the first part of verse 46 of 1 Samuel 17. He said, this day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 tells us this, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not tangible. But what are they? Well, first of all, they're mighty. Oh, you missed a really good place. I said the weapons are mighty, but they only work one way. You ready? How do they work? How? But I'm facing what I've never faced before, through God. But I'm dealing with what I've never dealt with before, through God. But I don't see any way out of this, through God. The weapons of your warfare, they are right there at your disposal. And it's not you, and it's not your resources, but if God be with you, who can be against you? I wish you'd believe it. I wish you'd believe it. Because those kind of weapons, they can pull down strongholds. They can cast down imagination. And anything that tries to exalt itself against God, it'll pull it down and take it out. So what are you trying to say, Pastor? It's real simple. Get back. Get your hands out of it. Get your mind out of it. And let God, didn't you say that, Darren? I almost pulled you down. Step back. Back off. Take it easy. Get you a good cup of coffee. If you don't like coffee, get Coke Zero. If you don't like Coke Zero, get a milkshake. But find you something that'll relax you a little bit. And just realize, I've been here before. And I'm still standing here, therefore, I've been through that I've been through before. And if God did it then, he's going to do it now. And I want you to stand with me today. There are two reasons why God wants you that he has for you today. Two reasons. And they're found at the end of this in our text. Two reasons why God wants you to accept your victory today. Number one, for 746, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. You see, your victories are more than your victories. They become a testimony for God's glory. Anybody? I need somebody that knows what I just said to wave your hand and say, he's telling the truth. Come on, tell. See, your struggles that God takes you through, it's not just you that's looking on. We live this life in front of each other. Yeah, we do. Nate, how long have we known each other? 20 plus years, right? Long time. Maybe 25, maybe 30, I don't know. Long time, decades. Right. Decades. I'm going to tell you something about Nate. I know when he's messed up. I'm being for real. I know. When my wife is not happy, I know. Just by looking at her. There's many of you I know well enough. Why? Because we live this life in front of each other. I know there's spiritual discernment, and sometimes the Lord showed me, well, yeah, your face showed me too. We live this life in front of each other. Therefore, when God brings a victory, as much as others see the struggle, they also see the win. And when people see the win in Christ in you, I promise you, it is a testimony of his faithfulness. And it's a testimony of his goodness and his power and his might. So the old earth, here's a great question. I know I've asked it before, but let me ask it one more time this morning. What would you go through if God, you knew God just wanted the glory out of it? What giant would you face if you just knew that it was all so that people could know that there's a God right here? What giant would I fight against if I knew that when people looked at me, when the dust was settled, that they saw that God was the one that brought them through? So that's one of the reasons why you need to come to an altar today and just receive the victory that God's already got planned for you. The second reason is this. He said, then all this assembly shall know. He was talking about Israel, and I'm talking about you, that everybody around in the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you, enemy, into our hands. I found it amazing to know when my brothers and sisters are walking through turmoil and God brings them through. Is there anybody else? There ain't nothing better than know that somebody, oh Bella, she's had problems upon problems upon problems and she's been going through it. But then to watch her in a service or in some other setting and realize and she's dancing and shouting and praising God. I don't know what it does to you, but that does something to me. When I know somebody's been through something and they come out on the other side, it's not my victory, it wasn't my giant, it wasn't my battle, but there's just something shared that comes into me. Listen, I get excited, Adina, when you come through and you make it. I get happy when I see the same. Is there anybody else? That something, nothing better could happen today than to somebody to come and to loose the shackles of their circumstance and realize God has already forged a victory for me. I'll rejoice with you. I'll praise with you. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody that wants to rejoice in your own victory, in the victory of people around you? Come on, get out of your seat, David. Get out of your seat. Walk into that valley this morning. Declare it. It's got to stop right now. What is this circumstance that it feels it has the authority to present itself to my life? I will declare the goodness of God. I will declare the faithfulness of God. I will declare the righteousness of God. Come on, that's it. That prayer that you pray right now, it's working. Come on, lift your voice and start praying. Lift your voice and start worshiping. That's a weapon in your hand. No, not my family.